Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
What is up? NFL wildcard weekend is over. Game Saturday, Sunday, Monday night. We had some good games. We had some not so good games. I thought we had some really bad football. I thought we had some really good football. I came out of this weekend, Sean, thinking I don't know who the best teams are. The Bills, I thought, they made me question that team. So we're going to get into everything. The Cowboys, what Cowboys team are we going to get? The Bengals, I thought the Bengals were going to roll the Ravens. No, it took a crazy touchdown and maybe a missed penalty for them to get their 7-point victory over the Ravens. We're going to get into everything. But as always, we're brought to you by Bet Online.
And it's hoop season, too. As a matter of fact, we had a big upset, right? Kansas State beats my
Jayhawks. Go down.
Yes, they do, which no shock during the regular season. They like to do this on a regular basis.
That's all right. My Final Four pick, Indiana, sucks. So,
what happened to them, dude? Football winds down, we'll get back into that. It's like, what?
Yeah, the Big Ten just eat themselves. Just so many decent teams that nobody's really good, except for Purdue.
The Big 12 got some flex, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Pretty damn good. Yeah, we'll get to that. Well, basketball is back, and Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup information, player news, and game trends at Bet Online. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, Bet Online features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether it's the NFL or NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. And we mentioned a lot of hoops out there. A lot of good college basketball and NBA all over the place. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV as in Victor, BELIEVE, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
As always, thank you to Bet Online. All right, Sean, let's start with the last game of the weekend, Monday Night Football. And before we get into what happened, Cowboys beat up on the Bucks. The Bucks were the exact team we saw every single week this year. They were a team that just didn't have it. For whatever reason, they just didn't have it. But my question first to you is, we have two games Saturday, three games Sunday, one game Monday night. Now it turns out that the Cowboys have to travel to San Francisco, who played on Saturday, the early game. So now the San Francisco 49ers basically get 2.5 days more rest. Now they didn't know who they were going to play, but those two plus days of rest is massive when it comes to this time of the year for NFL players. Do you like the fact that we had a Monday night football game, or should three on Saturday, three on Sunday?
I don't. I thought we wanted an even playing field. Screw TV. You get my point. I know why they did it.
Right.
Because you get big broadcasters in game. And quite frankly, the game didn't live up to any of the hype, but it is the Cowboys. It is Tom Brady. I get it, but you're basically telling the Dallas Cowboys that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going in, you're at a shitty disadvantage. Sorry. We move on. Sorry, but the TV revenues are more important. But remember, we care about player safety, Segs, in a short week. Player safety, right? They'll shove that down our throat. And even though after they get two extra days to get their hammies and their shoulders that are banged up and they're not, just on the pure carries of the football where you get knocked around, the bruises and bumps, you guys are going to get a couple extra, which San Francisco, I'm sure, loves. At this time of the year, I cannot begin. It's not like you're missing 10 days and everybody's getting out of competitive football. I can't begin to tell you how huge that is. And even a day off to clear your mind that the Cowboys really shouldn't get, because it's kind of a half day because they got a short week to get preparation for what may be the most dominant team in the NFC. I mean, Philadelphia will argue, but the 49ers got a damn argument themselves. So you're asking two less days. Sorry, Pollard, and you guys, I know you probably banged up a little bit from the hits, but we care about player safety, but you're going to go play because TV revenue and Monday Night Football is better. It's horse shit, okay, and we all know it. Now, with that said, does two extra days mean that Dallas is going to would have beat San Francisco? Hell, I don't know. We're going to find out how they play, because you mentioned which team's showing up, but it was I don't like it, Segs, and real quick on the game, I was fortunate to get all 22 and all the tape. From that game, Coach JB and I, to get that yesterday, and we watched that game and broke down some of it last night. Hell, it takes hours to break it down, but an hour and 15 minutes of it, right? Of Dak Prescott, he was sharp, and of the Tampa Bay defense. And Segs, I'm going to tell you, we saw 66 times Byron Leftwich's offense and Tom Brady's offense was up and down. One day they're on the same page, 200 yards. The next day, Tom Brady's missing by 9 yards. Yeah. I mean, they weren't even close at times. And we praise him, and Tom's not above criticism, and neither are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers superstars. We haven't criticized him much in his career, but they were not good. It was, quite frankly, it was elementary school stuff from them. And on defense, same way. Sags, when you go watch it, and if you go watch what we did last night on some of the 49ers defense, Coach JB and I, scheme-wise and execution-wise, it was – there were windows to throw to that I got – I promise you, I got high school kids that would have completed balls. There was no rhyme or reason. Now, I don't know if somebody was out of place 40 times or if they just schemed it up, because their scheme was as unsound as the first day you put a scheme in. That's what it looked like.
Right.
I thought they were an unprepared football team. I did. You can place the blame, whether it's players, coaches, or both. Place the blame where you want. But you're exactly right. We kept waiting all year long for the 4-5-game win streak for Tampa to come out of it, and make no mistake about it. They were never consistently good this year.
Never.
They were good in spurts, crappy in spurts, and okay in spurts. And that's what you get, an 8-9 record, ass kicked in the first round of the playoffs, and now all the questions loom about your team, your coaching staff, Byron Leftwich, Todd Bowles, the whole thing. And so now you got that with all the stuff about whether Tom's coming back. And Dallas played a game that it ain't going to be as easy against San Francisco, but Sags, Dallas played how they're going to have to play to beat the San Francisco 49ers. Because if they play short of that, if they play like Buffalo or Cincinnati or Minnesota did this week, the 49ers play their good football like they've played 11 times in a row, the Dallas Cowboys will take the same ass whooping Tampa Bay took. And I think they know that, but unfair for them to have to play on Monday night and return. I don't know why anybody in the competition committee or schedule would agree to this crap. Monday night football for us, we would rather see more quality football is what we'd rather see moving on, and an even playing field. I don't understand it. But then again, when it comes to some decisions made by the TV and NFL and rights and all the, when we're putting something on, but we care about player safety, Sags. Right. Okay, we do. You know that, right?
That's always the last thing they say.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, by the way.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah, I mean, this game was just all Cowboys. Cowboys looked fantastic, especially from, you think of how they looked last week or the previous week against the Commanders. And Dak he was like, it felt like he was 6 of 60 in that game, to then come back and just play like they did. They were so sound in every aspect of the game that, the Bucs stood zero chance in that game.
And now, Segs, you make a great point, is the reason why people were picking Tampa, you and me included, is the last vision I saw. And I know game to game change, but I saw a team that looked like Tampa Bay did on Monday night.
Yep.
It was just, but the Cowboys confuse me because they are well coached and they're innovative, and Dan Quinn's good on defense and they got good players. They confuse me because sometimes I watch them play and I say, well, no wonder they haven't won a Super Bowl in a long time. And then I watch them play and I say, that's a Super Bowl. That's a February team. Monday night, they look like a team that could play in February. We'll see.
What did you think real quick of Byron Leftwich? He's let go as OC. threw the ball, what, 66 times with Tom Brady. I mean, I don't understand his game plan. His game plan all year has been kind of sketchy, and I don't know how much of that is Tom saying we need to do this, and he, you know, maybe he's pushing back, and I don't know where it comes from exactly because I'm not in that room. But yep. Byron Leftwich went from being a hot commodity as a head coach last offseason where everybody thought he was going to get the Jags job, go home to the Jags where he, you know, started his playing career and was there for so long. And now he's out of his offensive coordinator job. And now we don't know what the future is for Byron Leftwich.
I'm not so sure that Todd Bowles can grab my attention as the head coach. And we always said when he gets players, when Todd Bowles gets players, he's been a hell of a defensive coordinator. Make no mistake about it. But when Todd Bowles gets players, we always said when he was with the Jets, when he gets players, Bowles will do it. Bruce Arians leaves the sidelines. They got worse. Byron Leftwich got worse. Todd Bowles got worse, period. The team got worse. Yes. So you make out of that, whether X's and O's, teaching, accountability, or, you know, here's the difference. Bruce doesn't take any shit from anybody.
Exactly.
And maybe it was too, I don't know. Was it too freewheeling? Like you said, we're not in the room. I don't know what goes on in those conversations. I'm not going to speak for somebody else. I'll tell you this. And this has nothing, it's never personal for me and the Texans or Raiders, Derek Carr. It's what we see with our eyes. And I like to think we watch a little football and that I do. I saw an offensive coordinator. If I didn't know Byron and know his approach, I saw an offensive coordinator that almost looked like he was auditioning to be a head coach, trying to throw it all over the place. Because, Segs, why would Brady, didn't he lead the league in attempts? Or close to it. I think he did constant, right? And listen, I know it's Brady, but it puts the offensive line in a bind, and they weren't good in the first place. Nope. They were, you know, banged up in retirement. And then you don't run it. And I know you don't, you know, Leonard Fournette, you don't have the guys you want, but you still gotta fake it once in a while. And when they did, Sakes, they won.
Right.
They actually gave trouble. I thought Byron Leftwich took a step back in his approach to football. And I thought Tom and him were on the same page. They looked like eight different people doing eight different things this year. And defensively, like I said, Todd Bowles' scheme, which is maybe the head coach and being involved in the defense, I watched a team that, in truth, there's 10 teams better in the NFC.
Right.
Detroit's better than they are.
Yeah.
We can go through. They are fortunate they were in a horseshit division this year.
Exactly.
They really were. So, they're not above criticism. Byron Leftwich, and then you hear the talk that they were trying to move him at the bye week, get rid of him, fire him at the bye week, right? So, you know what? They got some retooling to do, but for all the great weapons they're supposed to have, they looked like guys who didn't – they looked disinterested this year.
Yes.
And ill-prepared.
They really, really did. Looking at – we said we didn't know how this game would go. Giants get the win, 31-24 over the Vikings. The Vikings looked okay. But defensively, it's what we've seen from the Vikings all year. They're not a good defensive football team, and that's what kind of held them back. They weren't able to slow down Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones played a hell of a football game. Saquon Barkley did what he needed to do on the ground. And then the defense of the Giants was able to hold down Justin Jefferson to 7 catches for 47 yards. And TJ Hockenson had another very good game, but that's it, really, for the Vikings. And you expect in the playoffs your best players to step up and have monster games. And Justin Jefferson just wasn't able to get going.
I loved Wink Martindale's approach to that football team, man. I thought he had to keep – you go in and you say, that dude ain't beating me. You can find somebody else. And he went in with the approach, there is no way that Justin Jefferson's catching 12 balls for 200 yards and we're getting our ass kicked. If I'm going to lose – I'll lose somewhere else. Adam Thielen running the ball. Kirk Cousins throws for 500. It ain't going to be that guy. And it was a great approach. Two is, you mentioned the first game, Segs, the Buccaneers and Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't this game play out how both these teams are, other than one exception? The Minnesota Vikings didn't get the last. They finally hanging around the edge and toying with the edge.
Yep.
They fell off at this time instead of the 11 other times they won games. You're going to toy with that eventually. You know, you keep sticking your finger in the fire. Eventually, it's going to flame up on you. And the Giants weren't playing it.
Right.
Cousins played for – he was accurate. Cousins threw the ball around. And then it also ended up late in the game, single elimination. I know there was pressure, but you almost got to treat it like a two-point conversion. You cannot, on a hugged-up flat route to TJ Hawkinson, a guy getting, you cannot throw it there. You just can't. I understand. Listen, Cousins gets dogged out. Listen, the reason why they had many of their losses this year, their defense is pitiful.
Yes. Yeah.
They just are. And they didn't keep Daniel Jones one-dimensional. He ran and threw. Saquon Barkley got his. They did enough and gave up some big plays. They did exactly what the Vikings have been doing all year on defense. Yep. The offense did what they did, except they fell short on the final drive. They did not get a chance to go in there and tie. Because I was thinking to myself, they're going to go make this 31-31, and in overtime, they're going to win this thing on a field goal. I was thinking that. Well, the change of the way the Giants think about themselves and the way they're playing, and you can't throw the ball there. Segs, I don't have a lot of criticism of Cousins. It wasn't just him.
Yeah, but
and I know there's pressure. Here's what I would have done, because we know we've seen decisions like this. And we said, well, does this shock you? This is how he's been in his career. And I don't want to do that because it's almost not fair to him the way he played this year, right? I mean, they won 13 fucking games this year. And we're still saying this about him. So with Kirk Cousins, I'm sitting here thinking, you know what, Segs? If I was Kevin O'Connell, who I think is really good, I would have never left that up for a decision.
Exactly.
I would have pushed everybody beyond the
four
sticks.
Four or five guys past the
right,
sticks.
Right. I mean, different route combos, but I would have said, if we have like the 4-6 or 6-8 shallow cross route, I would have just told the guys, we got to hold up. We'll slide the line. We'll protect it. You got to push it 2 yards deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Get beyond. I would have pushed all five guys beyond the sticks. I would have taken the check down flat late go to out of it. Because in his mind, Hawkinson, dude, who didn't want to throw to that dude?
Right.
He's been friggin' a freak show since he got to Minnesota. Right. You got to push him up. Now, Segs, if there's a 9-yard cushion, I get you saying, well, he'll make the first guy miss.
Right.
They were so hugged up. It was catch and tackle. It was bang, bang play like you do at first base with a bang, bang play. And you had no chance. So I would have, for me, I would have been thinking, I was thinking this in the damn game. Kevin, whatever you do is on this drive, take the decision-making out of, can I check it down or to push this stuff down? Let him, because you know what? Every time they've done it, they've come up gold this year.
Yes.
And they came up short, and you knew it was bound to happen at some point. And the Giants aren't fake. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if they're going to beat Philadelphia because the talent's better on Philadelphia. But the way Mike Kafka's got it going, if you're Philadelphia fans and you're laughing at the Giants, I would be careful.
Yes,
I really would.
And I mean, real quick, the other thing, and we'll try and do this on Thursday, come up with our MVP, Coach of the Year, all that stuff. But to me, hands down, Coach of the Year, Brian Daboll. I know what Kyle Shanahan has done in San Francisco is fantastic, but you take a team that many had picking in the top three of the draft this year, and you've got them in the divisional round of the playoffs with a legit shot against the number one seed Eagles. I mean, to me, that's hands down your Coach of the Year.
Dude, hasn't, and as an assistant coach, hasn't Mike Kafka?
Yeah.
Look what they've done with Daniel Jones and the consistency and the confidence. Now, listen, the truth is, for a while, Mike McDaniel was a candidate. It was like, damn, pretty good. Hell, Doug Peterson came in and did some great things in Jacksonville. I think Pete Carroll was phenomenal this year. There's
Sirianni,
a lot of them.
And Philly
Nick
and
Sirianni. He's going to get punished because they have weapons, right?
Yep.
Even though he does a great coaching job, he's going to get hammered because they're going to say, well, you were supposed to win, just like Sean McDermott, just like Andy Reid. But I can tell you this, ain't nobody done a better – Kevin O'Connell did a hell of a job this year. Nobody's done a better job coaching football and changing culture in a building than Brian Daboll, period.
Hands down.
And listen, you know another one? He ain't going to get credit for it, but – there is no way the Pittsburgh Steelers should have gone 9-8.
Oh, hell,
Mike Tomlin might be the coach of the year, brother.
Completely agree.
You know what I'm saying? That dude right there, you want a team changed around. You want a guy who knows how to win and demands respect. And I'm hiring him any day of the week and twice on Sunday. While Daboll will win it, they're in the playoffs and it's sexy, right? It's new. I can tell you this, though. There shouldn't be a person on the planet that would argue Mike Tomlin being the coach of the year with what he did in Pittsburgh this year.
Agree.
He does it every year, though. The dude just doesn't lose.
Right.
That's phenomenal. Yeah.
It's crazy what they continue to do. We kind of hit on the 49ers Seahawks 41-23. This was a close game at half. I thought watching the first quarter of this game, I was kind of like, oh, rookie Brock Purdy showed up. He did not play a good first quarter.
Started
at
slow,
all.
Man.
That's he should have been picked off two or three times in that first quarter. And luckily, the ball hit the ground, and give him a ton of credit. He settled down in the second quarter. You saw the throws start to open up. He was making the easy throws, but completing them down the field. And then once he got comfortable, he took off.
Lights
and he
out.
Showed
and his
the
feet
guy
were awesome in the game,
yes,
too.
He's been the guy that we've seen since he came into that game against Miami. He's been that guy. And credit to him, credit to Kyle Shanahan, and just credit to the 49ers for continuing to be that team. Because once, I mean, it was close at half. Second half, it was not close at all.
Geno's laying it on the ground hurt.
Yep.
That changed some momentum of the game. There's yep. no, but that's another guy who his accuracy completed 70%. He had a hell of a year, man. Yep. I was proud of him and the way they played. But when you're playing the 49ers and you're playing a good team like that on the road, you just can't – there's a few things you can't do. And you're right. And the greatest thing – listen, we learned a lot about Purdy in the past. I learned a ton about him on this past yep. weekend, Ziggs. You start off and you're like, okay, this is the game where the questions start to creep in. Like 9 of 18 to start yeah. or whatever it was. And then the throw he made to Brandon Ayuk on a scramble. Yep. That is, if you were questioning, can he throw to tight windows? Don't.
Yeah. Okay?
That's about as tight as it gets, how he got that ball in there.
But
I don't think they thought his feet were this good, Segs. I swear to you, when they drafted him. But he's really a good play extender. And my favorite thing is when I watch him play, if I didn't know who he was, I'd say, damn, the dude's got this moxie and poise about mm-hmm. him. It just kind of, it doesn't matter. I can't tell if he's winning or losing. And I love it. From a quarterback standpoint, I love it. I don't know if he's having a shitty game or if he's kicking ass, right?
Right.
The facial expressions, you know, he celebrates. And then listening to the way McCaffrey and Kittle, and they talk about it. I'm going to tell you this. I know who the starting quarterback is going forward, not just in the playoffs in 2023. My question is, who's your backup? And yep. what are you doing with Garoppolo if he walks and Trey Lance? It ain't about Brock Purdy's their quarterback. They do everything better. They just do. They make simple yep. throws. He can make the big play. He's got better feet than one, more accurate than the other. He's just a better player. They're a better team. Oh, well, he's got weapons. Well, isn't that the object? Terry Bradshaw yes. had weapons. Montana had weapons.
I hate it. I hate hearing that every
Mahomes
week.
Mahomes has had weapons since he's been
he's
in the league.
Weapons. Yeah.
Buffalo Bills got weapons. Joe Burrow's got more weapons than any dude as much as anybody in the league.
Peyton but Manning had Marvin Harrison Joe. And right. Reggie Wayne and isn't Dallas Clark and Edgerrin James. And
get the
like,
quarterback.
Come on.
Yeah, get the quarterback and then put a whole bunch of good players
yes.
around him. Well, here's what the steal is for the 49ers. You got all the players first, and you discovered the last pick of the draft who's a friggin' baller.
And that's after taking Trey Lance third
and
giving
up,
trading up to get
him. Right.
Yes. And the crazy thing is, it's just – and what I've tried to explain to some people, including some of my buddies I was watching the games with, remember back – so he was drafted this year. So 2021 season in college football. Remember, a lot of people talked about him as a first-round pick. A lot of people, like he was
going
projected,
into his last year.
Yes,
damn right.
He was projected to be a first round pick and his season did not go well. But I don't care who you are. When NFL draft analysts, when scouts are putting you up there, there's a reason they're putting you up there. It's not just because, oh, this guy's, you know, because Brock Purdy's not 6'4". He doesn't have this monster arm. He doesn't have, you know, Lamar Jackson or Justin Fields running capabilities. But he was still projected to be a first, maybe early second round pick. And
he
those guys, yeah,
good.
He fell. And you know what? He still had that ability. That ability
right.
was still there. He just
what
had
he
a shitty
lose.
Season. And he
right.
came in with all the confidence in the world. And you know what? He went to the right system with the right
perfect
coach
for him. Went to the right
and
team.
Look what happened. Yep.
I'll tell you what, I'd have rather been the last pick of the draft going to the 49ers than drafted in the fourth round going to Carolina. Honest
yeah.
to God, and not against yeah. Carolina, but the team, because we wouldn't have discovered Brock Purdy the way we discovered, because the confidence that he knows he can make some mistakes
right.
and then he's not afraid to make mistakes is it's friggin' golden. And he's well ahead of his years as far as like not letting stuff bother him and not getting too caught up in I'm kicking ass and I'm really good. I just like the way he stays the course. And you're right, he didn't lose his ability. The key there is he never lost his belief in himself, even when he was, you know, kind of forgotten about.
Yep.
They put him in there. I'm not sure. You never know what you have until you see it. Time and time again, we've seen it. The guy is a different player. And here's the problem he faces. Say, you mentioned your buddies. the stigma of, oh, he was the last guy drafted. He's obviously not a good player. Well, I got news for you. Those guys that you call experts in front offices and coaches, they miss the shit out of a lot of players. Yep. Matter of fact, sometimes they don't even know how to get the most out of their own players.
Tom Brady went 199.
Yeah. Be careful labeling all these guys experts, because you know what? Those guys get fired too.
Yeah.
And you know what you're saying when you fire them? You weren't good enough to make my team better. So let's save the, if you're not a first round draft pick or a third rounder or a second rounder, you're not any good. Sometimes all you need is an opportunity and somebody to believe in you. And you saw it in San Francisco. He went to the perfect spot for him.
Yes.
Not knowing that this shit was going to happen and turn out like it did. Most guys would have blown the opportunity and drafted that late as a rookie. This dude not only didn't blow it, he's giving you an opportunity now to go trade Lance and get assets if you want.
Right.
That's what he's doing.
I can't wait until after the Super Bowl and we start getting ready for the offseason. We'll have that discussion of what do the 49ers do? What teams make sense if you're thinking trade Trey Lance and you know, you got to recoup maybe some of the picks you got for him. But what's Trey Lance worth? We'll get into all that once the season goes, or if we have kind of a lighter show at some point during these playoffs. But jump into the AFC. Bills Dolphins played on Sunday. I mean, I thought, you know, watching the first, 20 minutes of this game, you're thinking, oh, Buffalo's going to just destroy Miami. And then Skylar Thompson made a few plays. The defense made a few plays. Josh Allen fumbled. And Miami took advantage. And tell you the truth, Sean, Miami should have won this football game. If Miami had Tua, completely different game. I mean, Tyreek Hill didn't play great. Jalen Waddle had a rough game. And you're missing Raheem Mostert. It felt like Miami had a chance. And it just slipped through their fingers.
Would have never thought it either.
Yeah, Mike McDaniel did a great job with this team, and assuming Tua's healthy, I mean, they're a dangerous team moving forward.
Yeah, and the dumbasses that want Mike McDaniel fired, just stop.
Go away.
Just don't talk. Just stop that. And just to mention, I know we'll get to it. I thought if Lamar Jackson's healthy and plays in the other game, we may not be seeing Buffalo or Cincinnati playing against each other, and what I think is going to be a monster game, and probably maybe on paper has the biggest chances an upset for a road team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? As far as on, because of Burrow and how good their team is, I think either played well, and you're exactly right. You think about how it could have turned out. My concern is Buffalo's offense gets a little careless for me, Segs.
Yes.
A little careless. I almost feel like they know they're gifted and can overcome it, and they get spectacular plays, but you're about to run into a team in the next two times you play. More than likely Kansas City, although I'm not putting Jacksonville, I'm not burying Jacksonville by any stretch of the imagination, right. But more than likely that Burrow, they're not going to have back-to-back bad games. I'm talking about Burrow for the most part, not playing explosive offense and do what they do. I'm just telling you, you go ahead and get careless and throw a red zone pick, lay the ball on the ground, get a penalty. You will lose this game if you're the – now, I picked them to win the Super Bowl this year, Buffalo. And I'm not going to waffle on it, but I'm not real comfortable if I'm them getting ready to play this team that I think right now is as talented a team as there is in a league, meaning Cincinnati.
I was doing something with my uncle the other day, and, you know, we were talking football, and he just, every time I see him, we talk football, and he mentions, he's like, you know, that idiot in Buffalo is going to cost them a game because he tries to make every single play and he has some screw ups and
he's a hero syndrome guy. Segs.
Yes.
He wants to do too much of a hero all the time. And when he is a hero, it's like, damn. And he's so good. I don't blame him having those kind of skills, but you can't be a hero on every play, dude, or you strike out just like a home run hitter.
You have to know when to just duck out of bounds. You have to know. You don't have to get an extra yard after you've got the first down by 10 yards. Just get out of bounds.
We know you're
tough. I don't care how big you are.
Yeah. Right. Like, we know you're tough.
You still have had problems fumbling the football. You just make key decisions that sometimes hurt your football team. And
sometimes
we'll,
you got to take the L on a play,
Sex.
Yes. Throw it away. Take the sack. You're good enough to get a first down on 3rd and 18. Shit.
Right.
I've seen it enough times. So, I wish I was going to that game just as a fan in a suite, mind you. I don't want to freeze my ass off,
but I don't need to be sitting out in the elements anymore. Bengals get the win over the Ravens, First question, was it a block in the back on the return?
Yes.
I think it's clear as day.
If we're going by the letter of the law.
Yeah, I mean, his hand was on a number.
And he pushed him and he extended his arms. Yes, of course it was. Yes. I mean, if we're going to go by the letter of the law.
Yes, which,
The game, and he got him. No, now if he'd have got him the first block, if you saw, you see the guy got shoulder to shoulder, got in front, it was a good block. The last one, when the guy wasn't going to catch him more than likely anyway.
Right.
Here's what I want. Don't do that.
Yes. Be smart.
Cincinnati. Yes. Don't. You're going to go score. Do not. And if you don't, at least you get tackled there for field position. Don't move the damn thing back. Don't have a clue. If I can see your jersey name and number on the back, the full name and number, don't block his ass. But you're damn right. It was like, I got to get in. It was dumb. Absolutely dumb. They're fortunate. Letter of the law was a penalty. And who fumbles it on the goal? I mean, how does a fumble on the goal line end up on the outside in guy, lands in his
I know.
Belly?
And it just bounces right.
I mean, unreal.
Like, it just...
Yeah, unreal.
Yeah. I mean, just talk about...
And I think if Lamar plays, healthy Lamar, the Cincinnati Bengals would have been in major trouble, like I said earlier. Major trouble in that game.
John and Jim are going to get together and just, maybe just punch each other in the face for fumbling on the goal line in their biggest games of the year this year. I mean,
well, they're
going
to have
did
the
it.
dinner table is going to be interesting to talk about, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, just a brutal, brutal mistake there for the Ravens. And then finally we got the Jags. I mean, you're down 27-0. You've got a second year quarterback. You got a first year head coach for this organization, and you got a young football team in the Jacksonville Jaguars down 27. I mean, the fact that they came back and won that game against the Chargers team, who, damn it, we've talked about it for weeks. This is what the Chargers do. They just always seem to shoot themselves in the foot in multiple ways. And they went very conservative in the second half offensively. Even defensively,
Joe Lombardi got fired.
Yep, Joe Lombardi's out.
Got fired.
Even defensively with Brandon Staley, they kind of just started kind of backing up and letting – Trevor Lawrence do his thing after they got, what, three picks in the first quarter, four in the first half?
Yeah.
I mean, and then he comes back, four touchdowns in the second half, and showed why he's being talked about as one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL.
Didn't they do what they do, though?
Yes.
What do you mean? We went in with what our number one concern was going in? Was, will they make decisions from the sidelines that cost them? Now, the players play, but it's like, what got you to 27-0? Don't back off that.
Right.
We've seen the movie too many times, and Doug Peterson's been in those games. You watched him beat a guy who threw for 505 yards in a Super Bowl with his backup quarterback. He knows how to coach, and boy, is he good. And we talked about Brock Purdy. Segs, I think we're going to look over the long haul. We're going to point to last weekend's playoff game for Trevor Lawrence and say, most guys I know say, and I know that it's tough. Brett Favre, no, there's guys, this is the Hall of Famers, but the normal mere mortal would have shrunk all four. After that start, it would have been like, hell, most, if it wasn't Trevor Lawrence, I'd have had his ass sitting next to me, probably. But it's Trevor Lawrence, you play through it, the believability to keep going and putting the ball in his hand, overcoming four picks. He won the fans over by heading over to Waffle House, that cool bastard. Good for him after the game. But to stay resilient and do that, I don't know if they're going to be Kansas City. Well, nobody knows Andy Reid better than Doug Peterson, though. Shit, that's his mentor.
Right.
So he'll know some of the – they'll play that mental game with each other. But he was resilient. The Jacksonville Jaguars hang around. They're kind of like the AFC's New York Giants.
Right.
They did kind of – they just kind of are – although – going into the season, they said, well, the more gifted quarterback, but Daniel Jones has played like a first round pick. So right here, I am actually not shocked that this happened. Now it got to the point where I said, this is unwatchable offensive football watching Jacksonville, but then they got going and they stayed the course, and Doug Peterson and other coaches may not have been able to get through that. And he stayed aggressive, which he had to, down 27, but he didn't back off when it even got close.
Right.
They just kept playing, and turned out, I'm not shocked that the Chargers did it. I'm not shocked that they gave the I confess, blame it on the, somebody else, and the head coach is still there. And I'm not shocked that Doug Peterson put the ball in Lawrence down and they won. What I am shocked is that in a playoff game that you had the audacity to lose a 27-0 game.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe it. I was on the verge of turning it off in the first half.
I did right after the score, and the first score, what was it? When it got to halftime, uh-huh. I did. I said, beginning of the third quarter, I said, eh, I didn't watch it. And then I flicked it back on and said, what? And got more interested. I did turn it off for about 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, I said to myself, I'm going to watch through the first half. If Jacksonville does not score, I'm just turning it off. Well, they scored, so then I kept watching, and they make the comeback. So, I mean, fantastic way, you know, to finish off a Saturday night if you're a Jags fan.
That
if you're a
score
Chargers
before
fan,
halftime made you a little bit,
yes.
Okay, let me just see how they come out. But I waited till mid, like 7 minutes into the third quarter to go.
Right.
I taped it, so I go back and say, well, but after that, even at 27-7, I thought, this is too much to overcome right. in a playoff game. Well, I'll be damned. There
but
you go.
But the difference of – as a coach going in, having that touchdown. So you don't have to walk in and be like, well, guys, I mean, we gave up 27 on offense. We turned the ball over four times. We didn't score any points. But no, you get that touchdown right before half, and you're like, okay, guys, here's a little bit of momentum. Let's go. And
I'll bet
see
he didn't
what
even overcoach him. I'll bet he exactly. didn't even overcoach no. him. I bet he said, go take care of your business.
Yep.
We're a better team than this. And you guys tell me how you want to be remembered.
Yep.
And they turned it on.
They answered the bell.
Right.
All right, great when we stuff, come back man. Later this week, we will break down the matchups we have for divisional weekend, and we might have some coachings finally hired in the NFL. All the spots are still open. We'll see what happens when we come back either Thursday or Friday. As always, thank you to Bet Online, and thank you to Believe, and thank you to
great
you,
stuff,
Sean.
Brother.
We'll talk to you later
thanks,
this
brother.
Week.
You too, man.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.